How you doing, everybody? It is your guy, Taz the Angel, here with more car talk. Good conversation you can ride to. And first and foremost, we have our first sponsor of the podcast. I'll lean in a little closer for you. I'll block that sun out so you can see that. Make sure this. Yeah. Also, the shirt, you know. Steven Johnson's Windshield Repair. We are here and in full effect, where Steven Johnson Windshield Repair, we repair chips in your windshield and cracks in your windshield that are 6 inches or smaller. Anything after that is normally going to call for a replacement. So, give us a call at 940-539-5912, as seen on the hat and the shirt. We'll get you a quote, an appointment, and all that. And, honestly, text messages are preferred for traceability purposes if we have an appointment, especially if you have to give me your address. Everything is right there in that text thread, and it makes everything simpler and more smooth. I think it's more smoothest. It makes things easier. We'll go with that. It makes things easier and helps with, like I said, traceability. So I'd like to thank, you know how we start. I'd like to thank all of my, let me make sure. I'd like to thank all of the people who support this podcast in any and every way you do. That's comments, likes, shares, critiques, donations, all of that. All of those things are appreciated because they help us grow. Side note, this is probably going to sound weird, but I haven't worn my dangling earrings in quite some time. If y'all have watched the podcast, you know it's been a few episodes since I've worn them. I miss them. The movement. Anyway, this episode is a continuation of the series, you know, Memories of Black Family. And the episode is about my parents. So the other two episodes have been like 30 some minutes. Being that I have more to pull from, probably going to be longer. I mean, after all, I've known these guys for 31 years. So we're going to start with my mom. To keep the pace, each episode, if I'm not mistaken, I started with my mom's side of the family, so start out with mom's. My mom is a very special woman in many facets. Before I continue, I tell people that I've told my parents this. I am the perfect blend of my mom and dad. And, I mean, that's not a shot to my sister, but, I mean, you know, if she take that as a shot, then, you know, bop, bop, bop. You know what I'm saying? But I'm the perfect blend of my parents. I have the face of my mom and the height from her side of the family. Because like I told you guys last week, her dad was 6'5", I'm 6'5". So I get my height from her side as well as my face. And I get my love for words from her. And I get my ability to place them where they need to be from my dad, the gift of gab. Yeah, that's how I'm gonna say that. So. Yeah, moms. Very, very special woman. in more ways than I can count. And there was a screaming little child. This is one of the reasons why I usually do the podcast at night, by the way, to not have screaming children in the background. So my mom, amazing woman. I mean, she raised me, so that already puts her in GOAT status, right? I already puts her up there. Man, she's caring, loving, smart. She has a thirst for knowledge that I have taken on. And I'll say this and then I'll keep going. Like, when I say the perfect mix, like, even with their personalities, I'm like literally the culmination of both of their personalities. So a lot of the things that I say about both my mom and my dad, for the people who know me and for the people who have been listening to the podcast enough to get a feeling of who I am, it'll sound like I'm naming characteristics of myself, but it's because I got those characteristics from them. Side note, if you notice, I got the two watches on, right? That's a Taz the Angel original right there. That's a TDA original. If you see, I'm talking about, probably around 2005, 2006, excuse me, is when I first started doing this. So if you see anyone else doing this and they don't have any evidence to document before that, because I got pictures, all right? Okay, I got high school photos of the double watches. So if people can't, you know what I'm saying, give you no physical evidence before that of them doing it, it's me. And that's cool, but it's me. But yeah, so it'll sound like I'm talking about me, but it's because I get it from them. So a woman who has a thirst for knowledge. So you saw earlier when I was thinking about, is it smoother, smoothest, more smooth, most smooth, when I was going through that like English lesson out loud, that's from her. I get the responsibility of words from her and the love for words. I get that from her. When I was, I want to say 14, it was between 14 and 16, so I'm just going to say 15 because it's the median. I'll let that up. So my mom worked at a law firm, and she would have to type up, you know, legal documents, documents, better. So she would have me proofread those documents before she turned them into work. That person going in, the little child's going, I'm gonna let these ones down. You know what's crazy is it is February 23rd, and just a few days ago it was bogged down with snow here. I'm talking about people sliding across the road, not being able to catch traction, and I mean, some people even froze to death in different parts of the country and even the state. I know people in Houston actually froze to death. And now I've let these windows down and not bust out in a sweat while I'm talking to you guys. Whew, it's crazy out here. But so she would have me proofread her documents, and I would have to really be careful with those because, I mean, it's for a job, right? So I can't just be blasé about it and say, oh yeah, it's cool, and then she turn in typos, comma splices, whatever, because it's a paralegal. I mean, it's a law firm. Being a lawyer, dealing with the law. It's probably 95% language, wording. That's how people can, the woman, I was about to say Gorilla Glue Girl, but the woman who had Gorilla Glue in her hair. That's why she's able to sue them, because of the lack of wording in their instructions. Well, that's why she may end up getting a settlement. You can sue anyone for anything, but for it to actually gain traction and either go to trial or you get a settlement from them, there has to be actual merit to it. And the fact that they didn't have do not use in hair, because if I'm not mistaken, in the instructions it says good for wood something, and the ending was etc. And something like that. And that was, you know, that's a marketing strategy to make it seem like it's, you know, much more versatile to get you to want to buy it. But that etc. also leaves it open-ended for the person, the consumer's interpretation. Her interpretation was she could use it on her hair. And because of that, she's probably going to get some money from them in that lawsuit. So, dealing with law, words are over 90% of the game. So I can't allow her, my mom, to just go and have a paper filled with typos. And I don't, it's not that she wasn't good enough to catch them. I personally believe, and she'll correct me after she hears this if I'm wrong, but I personally believe that she would put some typos or comma splices in there just to see if I catch them. So I don't believe that, but I believe that now. At the time, I didn't have that level of thinking down the line as a young teenager. I just knew being a lawyer or dealing with law is really important about words. She's typing this in, it's for a job. I can't send her out, you know, typos that she may not have caught that I could have. So I took that very seriously, right? I'm gonna let the windows up soon as traffic is increasing for some reason, even though the end of this road is a dead end. I don't know why all these cars are moving right here. Like, get away from here. But again, this is why I usually do it at night, right? So much for trying to do something different. Anyway. So, that's how she gave me responsibility with words. But she also nurtured my already love for words. Like, and when I was younger, I actually did like spelling bees. Constantly won. I think the last one I did was eighth grade. And so for y'all who don't know, I'm a preacher's kid. My dad's an elder, my mom's an evangelist. So preacher's kid, right? And I had won, I'm talking about since like maybe first, second grade, I was in spelling bees. As soon as spelling bees were a thing, I was in them, because I just loved them. I was intrigued by words. So early on, like I said, I would come home with trophies, medals, whatever we got at the time. I remember my grandma literally had the top drawer of her dresser. Every time I would come in with a new medal, she'd put it in that top dresser, and it was filled with them. Because like when I was in like elementary school, we would have spelling bees every couple of weeks. You know, every time we get a new spelling list, spelling bee. So I was just coming in with medal after medal. So she, like, her top drawer was full of them. So, eighth grade, I was in the final three. It was me, my cousin Hernandez, and a female named D. Deatra. If I'm not mistaken, Hernandez ended up winning. The word that got me out, this is shameful, honestly, but the word that got me out was Messiah. And I never heard the word before, honestly. I never heard the word before. And even to this day, I don't think I've ever heard the word Messiah inside of a church. Like, I've heard Jesus be called uncountable names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Elion, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, our Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus the Christ. Like, I've heard Jesus H. Christ. Like, we don't even know if there's an H there. People just add stuff sometimes, but I've heard so many different names for him, but I had never heard Messiah at that point. And again, I'm not sure that I've ever heard it in the church. So being that I'd never heard it, I didn't know how to spell it. So I, in my head, I was like, Messiah. I just spelled what I heard. And it was probably something like, it's a second motorcycle. So I spelled Messiah something like M-A-S-S-I-A. Something like that. And of course, that's wrong. And the word that got Deatra out was superlative, if I'm not mistaken. Because I was like, oh, come on. Because I knew that one. And I'm like, if I would have gotten that one instead of Messiah, I'd have been top two. So, love for words. One thing that my mom and I did and still do whenever I go home to Mississippi is when we watch movies or shows together, there we make sure the captions are on, right? So if someone says a word that we're not familiar with, we pause it. I go to the living room, grab our red Webster's dictionary, and look it up right then and there. Read the definition out loud to her. We'll be like, okay. Then I put it back. We'll start right back to the movie or show. And if I'm not mistaken, we did that the last time I was there. I had to look up a word, but that's something, you know, that we've done for years. And of course, you know, when I was down there, I could have just pulled out my phone and I don't want to say what it, the term, because it might pop up, but I could have looked it up on my phone. And but I didn't want to, you know, because the tradition is when you see the word, you go get the dictionary and look it up. Still, that's the tradition. So that's something special that she and I do, and I love that, you know, we have that. I love that. But yeah, man, she's a woman who's very thoughtful, very loving and caring and giving, smart, funny. My mom, I may be the only person, honestly, who knows how funny my mom really is. Because she has this style of comedy where she's getting out on you, but she's like saying it in such a caring tone. It doesn't sound like she's getting out on you, right? So a person says a word incorrectly, but they're in like a kind of a heartfelt story. So they'd be like, yeah, when I got home, it looked like something was wrong. And when I went to go look and see what it was, and why that person still talking, my mom be like, yeah, looked like. Uh-huh, right. Like, she would throw, I'm correcting you, but continue. Yeah, go ahead. And That is so funny to me. I'm the only person, honestly, on this planet who knows when I speak her language 100%. To the point where, and she's gonna, right at this point, she's probably finna bust out laughing because she knows I'm not lying. She knows I'm not lying. And there have been times when she's done it to both my dad and sister, and they didn't even know. But I did. So she'll be doing stuff like that, and I'll be listening, and then I'll just look at her. So she'll be saying, look like, right. Yeah, for real. I literally might crank this car up while talking to you guys and drive to a different location. I have no idea why this dead end road is so active today. I have no idea why this dead end road is so active today. And it's all these loud cars, a dually, freaking Chargers and Mustangs and motorcycles. Like, what are y'all doing here? Anyway, so she'll be doing that, and I'll just be sitting there looking at her like, you know, I know, right? Mm-hmm. No, but go ahead, y'all go ahead. And then sometimes, and she'll be like, shut up, boy. And then other times, she'll realize that I'm around. She'll realize that I'm around while she's doing it, and she'll look over to see if I'm catching on, and I'll just be side-eyeing her like, yeah. You were wondering? Yeah. And she, again, shut up, boy. But, man, she is super funny. And a rider, too, by the way. There was this time in seventh grade where, I'm not going to say the teacher's name, where a certain teacher, okay, so I'm going to paint the picture. This classroom had a weird setup, right? So it was the whiteboard at the very front of the class. All of the desks are in two lines, like desk, going back, facing the whiteboard, and then the teacher's desk is behind all of us, so she just sitting in the back of our heads, right? And a lot of times I was very talkative because I was one of the people that I finished my work early so I can chill and laugh and talk trash in class. Just who I am. Because if they, as long as they covered everything that was on the test in class, I didn't really have to study because I was blessed to be able to retain that information well. So this is a day that I had done all my work and I was chilling, but I wasn't laughing and playing this day. I was actually literally just chilling. And the person who was sitting beside me, I apologize, I said that wrong. It wasn't desk. It was table, all the way back. And each table had two people sitting at the table. So the person who was sitting beside me at the table, they were actually like talking trash and being playful and being loud. So I don't know if she was just like looking down and wasn't paying attention or what, but whenever she looked up, I guess she just saw me not working, but it was because I was done. And assuming that I was the one causing the ruckus again when I wasn't. So she yells at me and fusses at me and sends me out. So I go to the office and I call my mom, because my mom, if I'm not mistaken, she was at work, but she worked closer than my dad did. So I call my mom. And she came up there and I told her what happened. And the lady, the teacher, had called me a lazy good for nothing, because again, when she looked up, I wasn't doing anything. But that was because I was done. So that's not lazy, that's advanced, that's efficient. I didn't need the whole time frame that y'all gave me for me to complete this job or work assignment. So tell my mom, mind you, this lady is an older white lady, calling her black son lazy good for nothing. It might have been February Black History Month. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. But yeah, she goes up there and, you know, she tells the teacher, I'm going to say it in a much nicer way. You know, you don't talk to my son like that. I don't talk to him like that. His father doesn't talk to him like that, so you aren't either. If he does something wrong, you simply point out what he did wrong and you show him what to do right. And you can send him to the office and all that, but you're not going to insult him. Now, of course, she said that in a angry black mom way, but also an angry black saved mom, so she wasn't cussing her out, but it was still angry black mom in that. And they not playing about the kids, you know. So by the time she got done getting, I almost said the teacher's name. By the time she got done getting the teacher's name, she came out there and apologized to me. So, but also they raised me to be a rider, us, because now this was probably, I was around 8 or 9. Because we moved to Crystal Springs when I was 10. This is before we moved. We were at a funeral, right? And it was either the end of the year or the beginning of the year. Because I had some candy canes, like, you know, from a Christmas tree. I had some candy canes. There was a bunch of them. It was literally, they had given me a plastic bin, I guess, to kind of, you know, appease me because I didn't really want to be at the funeral. Because, I mean, what kid really wants to go to a funeral? What adult really wants to go to a funeral? But, yes, yeah, so they gave me this, like, plastic bin filled with, like, tropical punch flavored, pina colada flavor, cherry flavor, like, these really, really nice candy canes, right? I'm in the back seat mashing, going crazy, right, going crazy. So, at the funeral, this family member was kind of side-eyeing my mom. And I remember my mom saying something to my dad as we were heading to the burial site. So, even as a kid, I kind of had a higher level of awareness. Now, I'm just not thinking back on this, but so when we got there to the burial site, there was more stuff being done, but I was by the car because I'm still eating my candy canes. And I had like a long sleeve button up with a vest that matched the pants. I don't know if there was a jacket that came along with that, but if it did, I didn't have it on. I just had the vest. And I'm standing outside by the car and I'm eating the candy canes. And I see this family member walking up talking trash to my mom. So at this point, it's unavoidable, the conflict that is. So I'm sitting there, I stopped chewing. I now just have the candy cane in my mouth, more like a lollipop. I'm sitting, like watching everything, right? And family member swings on my mom, grabs her hair and starts trying to fight. By the way, my mom won. I'm sorry. We won. So at that moment, I have always watched and loved cartoons and non-fictional pieces of work or media, like movies, cartoons, TV shows, like, you know, Power Rangers, stuff like that. So when I was angry, I would express my anger in an animated way. So you know how some action movies where they have two guys getting ready to fight? I know they did this in The Matrix with Neo and Agent Smith. When they're getting ready to fight, they zoom in on their hands and it's like, and you can hear like the knuckles crack, like, I learned how to, there we go. I learned how to do it just because I would see it. So when I saw the lady attacking my mom, I literally broke the candy cane. I was like, and my hand was down, but I was like, threw it down, took her friend, got right in between them. I don't know if I was like the first to get there or if people just couldn't break them up yet. But I got right in the middle of them. Start tearing that family member's stomach up. Giving her all I got. At 8 or 9 years old, giving her all I got. Straight stomach punches. But you ain't, hey, bro, look. You ain't finna touch mine. You ain't finna, me and mine, hey. Ain't nothing fair. Ain't nothing fair when it comes to us. To this day, you hear me? To this day, me and mine, ain't nothing fair about it. Let's just say I believe in equality when it comes to that. Look, these ain't the waters you want to swim in. Okay? Because, like, I'm going to tell you how it'll go today. If I see any female attacking any family member of mine, if you have a boyfriend or a husband or a son that is 13 years older, fair game. Okay? They going to pay for your bad decisions. Come look here. Ain't nothing fair about what I'm going to do to them. Ain't nothing fair about what I'm giving them everything. You hear me? And all I say is this. The reason why I can't go to haunted houses during Halloween times is because my hands will respond faster than my mind will. And I will assault an employee if they jump around the corner with a mask on. Yep, yep. I might give you two of them before I realize it. So, just don't do it. let's just all smile and love each other. Let's not do that. But that's what we did, man. Family member, you know, trying to touch on mama, put hands on her. All in the stomach. You hear me? You know, she had diarrhea for a couple days. Cause I was smiling, baby. She was smiling too, actually. And I remember my mom saying that at first she was going, you know, try to just like get her off her, but because of her size, you know, she was small. She was like, but she was strong, so she like she was strong for her size. So I had to wrap down. I had to give all of it. So you know, it didn't end the way she wanted to. But that's how we are, man. You know. You ain't finna just come and put hands on none of us and think we just finna chill. You ain't finna treat none of us wrong or disrespect us and think everything gonna be sweet. It's not. But that's, man, of course, those are just a few facets of my mom, man. Even to the point to when I say the loving and giving. Her and my dad, they've opened their home to numerous people. Numerous. When I was in high school, three people, my parents welcomed three teenagers in to live with us. And one of them we had known for an extensive amount of time, but the other two, we didn't know. And the way we got introduced to them was because of the one that we did know. And they needed somewhere to live for a while because they were attending Job Corps and they didn't really have a home to go to for the holidays and, you know, summer break and stuff like that. So they came and lived with us. And even to the point where, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't even live on campus anymore. They just lived with us. Because it was a better situation for them. So that's what I mean when I say, you know, loving and giving. So those are just some of the facets about mom. I'm over 36 minutes, so it's like I said, I've known them way more. I got a lot more to pull from. So now we're getting on dad. My dad is the epitome of a man. Selfless provider. Do what it takes. Do what he gotta do to get the job done. Protector. He's a man. And real quick about my mom. One thing that I always thought was cool. My mom's birthday is January 7th. So my sister's birthday is December 17th. So she said my sister was an early Christmas gift for her. And my birthday is January 11th, 4 days after her. She said I was a late birthday present. So my sister was an early Christmas gift. I was a late birthday present. So I always thought that was cool. And sweet. But my dad, a man, you know, I mean that, a man, a true leader, like he leads by actually being in the front. He leads by being the first one to go through. He leads by being the first one to go to so he can go through, so you don't have to go through. He has done any and everything in his power to make sure his family was straight. And not just his immediate family. He has been ridiculed by other family members. I don't know if y'all heard that, but it just sounded like a shooting. I heard five, two, 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 two. I hope I'm wrong and that's not what it was. And if it was, I pray that everyone involved is safe. And I'm still hearing. Just heard three more. And God, if it is not your will that they be okay, I pray that you prepare everyone who's involved for what is to come and lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah, so he's done any and everything. Oh, he's been ridiculed by his family, you know, on multiple occasions. Talked down to, talked bad about. And when things got serious and people needed to be led, needed to be prayed for, needed to be calmed down, his phone's always the one they rang. And he always picked up. And he always went. Because that's the kind of man he is. Talk about me all you want. I don't care. When you need me, I'll be there. I'm gonna keep that for later. Mental note. Talk to me all, talk about me all you want. I don't care. When you need me, I'll be there. That's I'm sorry, y'all can't call him that. That's my name for him. He does not allow anyone else to call him that nickname. It's for me. I call my dad Juice. I think I said it earlier. I said Bodine. That's my sister. That's what I call my sister. And my mom, Sugarfoot. So to give you an idea of the kind of thinking that my dad does and where I get it from, his name is Steven Johnson as well. My mom is Michelle Johnson. His name is Steven Johnson as well. But his is with the V. Mine is with the PH, as you can see. I'm just dropping bars. Y'all can pick them up if y'all want. I'm just dropping them at this point. Anyway, so mine's with the PH, his is with the V. And we have different middle names, very similar, but different. And the reason why he did that was twofold. One, he wanted both my sister and I to have biblical names. Two, he wanted me to have his name, but my own identity. That's Juice. There are multiple steps to the things that he does. There are multiple lines of thinking to the one thing that he does. And it took me a long time to be able to see some of the multiple lines. Still don't know them all. But that it took me years to see that it was multi-layered, the things that he was doing, the things that he did, that he is doing, things he's doing. Yeah, the things that he's doing. That he still does. I think I like that one better. Forehead itching. I feel like a mosquito bit me or something. But anyway. You know, that's the kind of guy he is. He's a thinker. He sits back and he analyzes. And I'm glad that that's one of the many attributes that I received from him. Because even, you know, when I talk about how caring he is, you know, even with the kids who came and lived with us, you know, as the man and the head of the household, that was okayed by him, you know, because I'm an old school guy as well, traditional guy as well, because of my upbringing, even though I'm only 31. The husband and wife come together and discuss whatever the end, the ending is, whatever the answer is, the solution is, the husband goes out and delivers it. That's what that means. It isn't what I say goes, you shut up, you don't have an opinion. It's, we're going to have a discussion. I'm going to be the one to relay what we come up with. So even with the people that lived with us, you know, he had to give the final okay on that as the head of the household, and he did. There wasn't any contention and aggression or back and forth. Okay. Now I'm gonna let y'all know these are the rules of my house. If y'all can abide by those, y'all can abide in this abode. Hey. The vocabulary is extensive, okay? So, one of the most important moments of my life was my ninth grade year. I was 14 in the football practice. We have this we have these things called, I don't really know if I'm saying them right because I've never seen the word written. I've actually talked to someone recently about this word and the fact that I don't know how to say it or if I'm saying it properly or not. But it's a type of running called gassers. Now, I don't know if it's gassers like E-R-S or gashers like U-R-E-S or even gasters like with a T in it. I don't know. I've never seen it written. But it sounds like gassers, like G-A-S-S-E-R-S. So that's how I say it. And for the people who don't know, we were doing half gassers. So a half gasser is you start at your sideline, you run to the opposing sideline, and you run back. Excuse me. We had time limits based on the position that we played on the field. So you have linemen, linebackers and running backs, tight ends go with linemen. Then you have linebackers and running backs. Then you have skill positions, your cornerbacks, safeties, receivers. And I think the quarterback is in there too. Quarterback might be his own thing, but I think quarterback goes with skill. And you have time limits. So the time limit for the lineman was 19 seconds. Again, this was after practice. So we're going down back, boom, 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 boom. I'm not making the time. Down there, come back. 21 seconds. Get back on the line. Coach Virgil. Now, Coach Virgil, mind you, is a second father to me. He and my dad were best friends in high school, and if I'm not mistaken, he's 1 year older than my dad. Might be two, but I think it's one. They went to school together. Coach Virgil's like my dad's big brother. His son is 2 years older than me. We went to school. He's my big brother. By the way, I said it to him on the day of, but happy birthday, David Virgil. If I'm not mistaken, it was the 21st. Yeah, so Coach Virgil, 21 seconds, get back on the line. Man. Come on, man. 21 seconds, get back on the line. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, Coach, I'm trying. Get back on the line. 22 seconds. Get back on the line. Took my hat off. Man, I quit. Threw it on the ground. My dad said, "You what?" He said, "Man," he didn't say it like that. He yelled it. "You what?" So he comes up to me, and you know I have my shoulder pads on. So he tried to grab my shoulder pads to bring me to him. Cause you know, anyone who knows anything about football and stuff, your shoulder pads come to a V right here where, you know, you can grip. So he tries to grab there, but he missed. So it was a boom, knocked me back. Walked back up on me. Boom, grabbed that time, grabbed me to him. "Don't you ever say you quit. Don't even," I think he was like, "Don't, that word don't even need to come out your mouth no more." He's like, "Ain't no son of mine no quitter. You ain't never seen me quit, and I ain't gonna never see you quit. Now get back on the line." Everybody else, because it's just me now. Everybody else, like, because my dad's big, pause, but at that time, like 5'11", probably like 320, benching like 450. Never been a small guy. Like I said, I get my bulk, I get that from my dad. So everybody else just shocked. So I get back on the line, Coach Virgil. 18 seconds. What you mean? You think I ain't finna make that time again? What? Hey, Coach, I got a second to spare. You can hold it. I don't need heat that one. 18, dude. And I was talking to him about that moment on the phone a few months ago now. And he apologized to me. He was like, "Man, I'm sorry, man. I just got real passionate about it." And I cut him off. You know, and usually, you know, I try to listen to people and not cut them off, you know, because that's rude. But I said, whoa. Don't you dare apologize to me about that. I said, I can't allow you to apologize for that. And he's like, "What you mean?" I said, "That moment shaped me. That moment." I always had a competitive drive. And I get that from him as well. An example. Again, around 8 or 9 years old, you can't tell this by looking at my dad. We're a deceptive bunch when it comes to physical prowess. But you couldn't tell that because, like I said, he was around 5'11", 300 pounds. Man had a J, okay? I'm talking about a pure shot. When he throw it up, it's just going through the net. It's not backboarding. It's not boom, boom. He had a pure shot. So one day, me, my sister, and my dad were at someplace in Jackson. And we're outside on a basketball court. And we're playing. Now this is my dad and I playing. And he's doing me dirty. Not like, well, he's winning. I'd say that because it's not like he was beating. Man, if you don't get out. So it went from snow to mosquitoes in days. Lord protect us. So I'm out here, you know, like I said, I'm 8, 9 years old, so I'm having to chunk the ball up. Of course I'm missing. He get the ball. All right, here you go. Nope. Okay. And I'm talking about he gets a game point, which, if I'm not mistaken, that's like when you 1 point away, game point, and then game. But he gets game point, he's 1 point away. I'm heated. I'll never forget this day. He had on a maroon jumpsuit. Like a, you know, sweatsuit or whatever. So he shoots the last one. Game. Run at him. Gut punches. My sister, Steven, stop! Let me tell you, my dad. So my dad's like, I'm talking about while I'm attacking him. Nah, nah, nah. Let him get it out. While it's like this. Nah, nah, nah. Let him get it out. I'm attacking him while he's telling me no. Let him keep punching me. So I punch until I'm tired, and he looks at me. He said, "You feel better?" "No, sir. Did that change the score?" "No, sir." "What was the purpose?" That's my dad. Attack me. Get it all out. And when you're done, let's think about it. Did it change the end? No. Do you feel better since you attacked me? No. So what did you do it for? I'm 8, 9 years old. But that's the time for you to drop those jewels on your children so they can start thinking on a higher level at an early age. You know what I mean? Like, and by no means was I was physically gifted because of my genetics and my competitive drive. I was always physically gifted to the point where you can't tell this now, but when I was a kid, I was always the small, fast dude. I loved to race. Loved it. I loved being able to put my all into something and beat the person beside me, and they're giving their all. I loved it. If I didn't, I gained weight when I moved to Crystal Springs. I gained like 20 pounds in one summer because I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anybody to go outside and play with. Because before we moved to Crystal Springs, when I was in Jackson, we would go spend summers either, my sister and I, we would spend either summers with my grandma, or summers, or part of the summer, with my god family and my god brother Solomon. I'm like 8, 9 years old with the 4-pack. I already had, because I remember him asking, because I didn't know what they were. I just thought, you know, that's just how I looked. I didn't think it was anything special. But I remember him asking me one day after we got done playing. He was like, "Bro, why do you have abs already?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Those 4 things?" Because I had a 4-pack at like 8 years old. He's like, "Why do you have those already? You're not supposed to have those." Because he's like 4 or 5 years older than me. He's like, "You're not supposed to have, at 8 years old, you're not supposed to have abs, okay?" So, when I was given them all I had, it was more than the average 8 or 9 year old, but I mean, still wasn't into a grown man, but that was the competitive drive that I've always had, you know? So, when he instilled, not only do you compete, but you don't quit. You go all the way with your competitive, or with your competition, or with your competitive drive. You go all the way. I told him, I said, don't ever apologize to me about that, because that made me. When I say made me, my sons, like when they play the game with each other, the youngest one, Charles, he might be getting beat, like say they playing Mortal Kombat or something, and David's beating him on the game. instead of taking the L, he would pause and restart the fight, or quit and go to the main menu or something, so he wouldn't have to accept the L. And I fussed at him. I said, "No, sir, that is never to happen again. If you playing the game, you play all the way through. You get the results of that. Ain't no quitting in the middle. Ain't no restarting." Another loud vehicle. Henceforth, I'm probably going to go back to recording at night, or I'm going to find a location where I know there's not a lot of traffic, because there shouldn't be a lot of traffic here, but there is. So, but I would tell them, no, ain't no such thing as that, man. You finish that match. You don't quit in the middle, because I mean, you're scared to lose. And if you're scared to lose, you're scared to try. Because if you're scared to lose, you don't want to try, because you might lose. That's why a lot of dudes are scared of rejection. That's why a lot of dudes, they'll get in a girl DM, "Oh, you're so beautiful. You look so great. Can I take you out?" And the woman will simply say, "No, thank you." And dude, "F you, you fat ugly." They can't take rejection. So instead, they continue seeking people all on the internet, hours and hours away from them. That way, if they do get rejected, at least it's not a local person that knows anything about them, and they can talk reckless to them and go to the next inbox. But if you're scared to fail, if you're scared to lose, you're scared to try. And I can't raise that. You can't be scared to try. Not if I'm around you. Not if you're a part of my life. Not if I'm leading you. We're going. And whatever comes with that, it come with that. But we're going. And I got that from that moment, man. From that moment. I don't think I've ever quit anything. Including a job. I've only either been offered a better job and, you know, went from one to the other, or I've been fired. Ain't no quitting. But that moment, man, it made me who I am, honestly. Because I needed it, you know, because say he would have let me quit, I wouldn't have been able to get any of the accolades that I got after. In high school alone, 3-time best offensive lineman, all district. Like, a scholarship. The reason why this background is purple with gold letters is because I went to Alcorn State University. I wouldn't have been able to go there without that scholarship. All of that, if he would have allowed me to quit. But he didn't. I'm in a Hall of Fame in my high school. I am a Hall of Famer already. Would have had none of this if he allowed me to be a quitter. Because when stuff got hard for me, when things got difficult for me at school, I wouldn't have pushed past them. Things got difficult for me in track. I did the shot put and I was an alternate for the discus. Wouldn't have been able to push through that. Wouldn't have been able to keep pushing when I played soccer. Goalie, of course. I wouldn't have been able to do any of these things. Because I wouldn't have had the drive to keep going. When I worked out, when I was at Alcorn, peak condition, I was able to run probably around 4 or 5 miles without stopping. Bench press 450. Don't really remember what my squat was, but it was like maybe 605. It was 305 pounds, 18% body fat. there was a switch in my mind that I could flip right before I got ready to do anything. Any exercise, any workout, I would flip that switch and my intensity would take me through. Then at the end, I just turn it back off. But I gained access to that by being able to push past limits. I wouldn't have been able to access that switch and reach that level of conditioning if I didn't know how to push through when I want to quit. Got that from him. So, one other thing about my mom I forgot to say earlier, about how supportive she is, and both of them are, but you know, the only football games my mom ever went to were the ones that I played in, even all the way to Alabama. My freshman year at Alcorn, I was supposed to be redshirted, but I didn't, because I played in that game and a few other games that season. I called my dad and told him, I'm like, hey, I'm starting this game. Little did I know that was insurance. We played against Troy of Alabama, and the freshman started. It was a game where backups were starters. I didn't know that then. I was so green and naive and unknowing. Didn't know that. I just knew, hey, I'm starting this week. So I tell my dad, he tells my mom, they ran all the way to Alabama. Now I'm gonna do a separate story time about this game. But to give you a little insight on what I was going against, and at Alcorn I played guard on the offensive line. I was a guard. Their entire defensive front, defensive end, defensive tackle, defensive end, all four of those guys were on the draft board to go to the NFL at the end of that season. So I'll tell you guys more about that in the later on story time. But mom's was right there in Alabama with an Alcorn hat and shirt on and stuff, doing what she did, support. So that was one thing that I wanted, you know, want to include. But and I think lastly, I want to double back to when I was talking about how my dad, he didn't dwell on family talking bad or down to him or about him. And he was always there for him, is always there for him. That allowed me to have the mindset that I exhibited when I did the previous podcast, We Don't Have the Luxury. That I'm gonna love you anyway mentality. I can be in an argument with you on the phone, and we can end not recovering. We can end in that argument. Before I hang the phone up, I'm gonna say I love you. When you're ready, get off the phone. All right, I love you. I'll talk to you later. Because he taught me to lead with love. And what I learned afterwards was, you lead with love so you can leave with love. You lead with love so you can leave with love. Because I don't have the luxury to hold grudges. Nor do I have the desire. But even if I did, I don't have the luxury. Because that last conversation that we had on the phone, where we were yelling and screaming and cussing and fussing with each other, what if that's the last one we'd ever have? What if I leave the planet and that was the last thing we said to each other? What if I can't stand you? You make me sick. You get on my nerves. This is the problem. You always do this bull. What if that kind of conversation, what if that's what I left this planet on? How would you feel? What if you left the planet and that's what I said to you? How would I feel? How would that impact me? What kind of damage would that do, knowing that the person that I truly loved, the last thing that they heard from me were words of anger, words of hatred, words of vigor, or venom? Because vigor doesn't have to be bad. It could just be like intense, like vigorous. But anyway, words of venom. So, I lead with love so I can lead with love. So even if we didn't have a good conversation, when you get out this phone, you're going to know I love you. You're going to know I love you. Because that's what's important. Mosquito found its way in here. Those are some of the just a small minutia iota of memories of or with my parents and ways that they've impacted me. I love you guys. I'm talking to my parents right now. Mom, Dad, I love y'all and I appreciate y'all. I thank y'all for everything, for being amazing parents when I knew I needed you, being amazing parents when I didn't know I needed you, when I didn't think I needed you, when I thought I had the answer, when I thought I had it figured out, for being great leaders, great listeners. Man, the world may not know it yet, but y'all are a true power couple. Because the forces that you've raised are going to change the world. And I mean forces. My parents are godparents to so many people. My mom has so many goddaughters. My dad has so many godsons. He's been coaching for well over 20 years. Because, like I said, I'm 31. At 10 years old is when I moved to Crystal Springs. He was coaching well before that. Coaching at Lanier High School, Terry High School, Crystal Springs Middle School, Crystal Springs High School. I think he coached at Van Winkle when I was younger. One baby before I was born. I don't know. He's coached for well over 20 years. And, you know, women who are grown women who call my mom godmom now, successful parents of their own, grandparents, Like, the people that my dad has impacted, still, he's been inviting, and he's been a part of their weddings, helped them in their marriage, giving them counseling, helped them in business ventures. There's even one guy that, he's a very famous social media guy. He's famous for doing voiceovers. Well over 100,000 followers, I think multiple hundred followers at this point. He was at Job Corps when my dad was there. And he saw a picture that my sister posted with my dad, and he was like, "Hey, is that, you know, that's your dad right there?" She was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Man, that man changed my life." You know, talked about how, you know, that was, my dad was the only father figure he ever had, and how times where he felt so low that he wanted to commit suicide, he didn't, because he was able to get that stuff off his chest in conversation with my dad, you know. And again, he has well over 100,000 followers on just Instagram alone. He's impacting people. And he's been impacted by my dad. So when I say the people that they've raised, I don't just mean me and my sister, even though we will. We're changing the world too. I don't just mean them though. I don't just mean us, I'm sorry. I mean everybody that they've impacted and influenced and helped and guided. It's a testament to y'all's greatness. It's a testament to y'all, to your dedication to doing what you believe is right. I love y'all. Like I said, I appreciate y'all. Wouldn't, if I had another, if I was raised in another household with two different people, I wouldn't be half of the man I am now. Wouldn't be half. Because I'm this because I'm the blend of y'all. Without y'all, what would I be a blend of, right? But luckily, thankfully, I don't have to figure that out. Y'all mean so much to me, and I try my best to make sure everyone knows how much I love them while they're here. I don't want to wait until you're in the dirt for me to talk to a plot, to a cadaver, to a casket. I want you to know now, I love y'all, and y'all are the reason why I am who I am. Y'all are the reason why I'm able to adapt and change and adjust as much as I am. Don't get defeated. Get punched and keep moving, and then do some punching. That's y'all. Thank you guys for another episode of Car Talk with Taz and Angel. Good conversation you can ride to. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. And I'll talk to you later.